Nice to connect with you again in our lounge rooms, sitting on our couches with our jammies on. But I'm glad you're with us today because we're right in the middle of this important series called Becoming. And we've been talking about the fact that we are all unfinished sculptures. And if we are allowing the master to chisel us, we are becoming all that we were meant to be. We've been saying that we want you to have a life that's utterly transformed by the power of God. And that means that we become the sort of people for whom living God's way is our natural choice, our joy, and our default. What we're talking about is discipleship. But you know, if living God's way is going to be our default, then for all of us, we need to allow God to transform our thinking. Romans 12, verse 2 says this: "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes." It says we need a total reformation of how we think. You might ask, what's wrong with the way we think? Well, where do I start? I mean, we think we're better than other people, or we think we're the biggest mistake our parents ever made. Both extremes are flawed thinking. We're quick to be critical of others, but so slow to see the problems in our own behaviour. We like to think that we are generous, but a quick look at our banking app shows us who is really most important to us. And we easily excuse what we did last weekend because it didn't hurt anyone and it's nobody's business anyway. Wow, I suspect that most of us need a lot of chiseling. And it's got a lot to do with the way that we see the world around us. So let's talk about worldview and how a Christian sees the world around them. You know, disciples of Christ don't think the same as many others do. We are radical, countercultural people, but we are becoming lovers of truth. Now, I know that truth is a very controversial word these days. It was controversial in Christ's day as well. So let's go to the pub. I have here my glass of fake beer. I don't like beer, so this is ginger ale. We could go to the pub, we could go to a wine bar, we could go to a coffee shop and just see what the average Aussie is saying and thinking. You know, everyone has a worldview. Everyone has this sort of set of glasses that we see the world through. And we all know people whose worldview is cynical or negative, or maybe it's overly optimistic. And in that case, we often say that people are wearing rose-coloured glasses. And we like to think that we have made our own set of glasses to see the world through, but the truth is they're generally made for us by our parents, our teachers, peer groups, experiences that we've had, and what we read and see in the media. Increasingly, our worldview is being moulded by what we see in the internet, and maybe not the wisest place to develop our worldview. One of the greatest challenges for a follower of Christ is to look through the lens of God's truth. So let's start there. The average Aussie would probably say, if you were sitting at the pub, they'd probably say something like, "There's no such thing as truth. You have your truth, I have mine. And when it comes to politics and world events, well, it's all potentially fake news." You know, the average Aussie struggles to believe that there is such a thing as truth. And many people today are looking to their devices to discern what is and isn't truth. I don't know whether you saw a documentary recently on Netflix, which was really exposed the way that algorithms work. The more you look at a certain type of information, the more of that information will be sent to you in your feed. And it becomes this echo chamber that's quite hard to escape from. But Jesus tells us that truth, ultimate truth, does exist. We do have a reliable source that we can lean on. In the book of John, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, he said, "When you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your life." So when it comes to truth, resilient disciples believe that the teachings of the Bible do have authority and are central to our faith. Now, when we start with this foundational rock, we have the beginnings of a worldview of truth and freedom. It's like we have an anchor. And if we don't have an anchor to hold us strong, we're going to be adrift in a sea of conflicting ideas and at the mercy of those algorithms that are sent through to us. Jesus said the truth will set you free. So the pub test might say there is no such thing as ultimate truth, but disciples know that truth exists and his name is Jesus. Another thing we'll hear people say is, "Oh, humanity is going to hell in a handbasket." Now, this is a worldview that shakes its head at the craziness of the world, at the problems of our ecology and climate, at the shakiness of the political landscape around the world. And it's quite sure that we as a species will blow ourselves off the face of the planet sometime soon. Disciples look at the craziness of the world and remember who is ultimately in control. In the book of Colossians, Paul writes this, "We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. History began with God's love when he created a very, very good world, and it will end when he says it will end with a very, very good restoration of everything to what he first created, including us, if we choose to be part of his kingdom. And in the meantime, followers of Christ work to keep the flame of the kingdom alight, to show the brokenhearted and the hopeless what is ultimately coming. There is incredible freedom in that truth. So the pub test might say there's no hope for humanity, but disciples know that God is in control and that his plans are good. Now, I'm sure you've also heard this thing, you do you. You do you. In other words, your identity is who you feel it should be. Now, this can be a healthy thing when it's applied to something like gender stereotypes, where you feel you have to be maybe a blokey bloke or a girly girl, but maybe you don't want to be stuck in that sort of a box. But it can quickly become an excuse for behaviour that is unhelpful and even hurtful. Can't commit to a relationship? That's just me. Struggle to control my tongue? Don't criticise me. I'm just being true to myself. A follower of Christ knows that they are a unique creation of God, but they are also a flawed version of themselves without the power of the Spirit. Me being me without God? Heaven help us all. I've got to find my identity in him as his beloved child, flawed, forgiven, redeemed, in the process of being restored. It's not you be you, but you submit yourself to the healing power of God and become the best version of you as you fulfill his purpose for your life. This is so freeing because I know the me without Jesus and I don't want to be her. The Christian view of mankind has huge implications for how we see the individual. We are deeply loved, but also deeply flawed. So the pub test might say, you be you, but we know that that is not the door to human flourishing. It's not you be you, it's you be his. What about this one? At the pub, it's all good, do what you like, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. There is a vast difference between the Aussie version of morality and the worldview that Christ followers have about morality. You know, the average Aussie's moral muscle is really pretty strong. We like to help a man when he's down. And we do like to follow the golden rule, behave towards others the way you would like to be treated yourself. It sounds much like a Christian view, but here is where the difference lies. This moral compass that the average Aussie has is a horizontal one. Our responsibility is just to our fellow man, woman. Just make sure you're not directly hurting someone else. Now, in the Christian worldview, the disciple knows that our moral compass starts with the vertical dimension. Knowing that I'm loved by a holy God who wants the best for me and the community I live in, how then do I make a godly decision about my behaviour? Obviously, something like adultery, which is hurtful to the other party, that's off the table. But what about something private that doesn't involve anyone else? Let's take the example of pornography. Now, maybe that would be okay in the as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else category. But can any of you imagine porn in heaven? Why not? I think there's something that inherently tells us that it would not be part of God's beautiful plan for our sexual expression. Disciples are called to a higher standard, not just that we don't do unholy and hurtful things, but that we have no desire to do them either. Now that is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. So the pub test says we are responsible to our fellow man, but the disciple knows we are made to reflect a holy God. What about this one? Friends of mine used to say this all the time. Don't let the bad guys win. Now, I would have used another word, a great Aussie vernacular, but I'm not allowed to. This is part of the general worldview or mindset that the world is divided into good guys and bad guys, and guess who we think we are? There is always someone out to get you, bring you down, cheat you out of what you're entitled to. Never forgive a wrong and make sure you get your own back. In the Christian mindset, we are all bad guys with the potential for evil. Sure, there are bad, terrible circumstances in people's lives which can distort their thinking and lead to some terrible outcomes. But humans also have choices that we must be responsible for. The way of Christ is so different to us dividing into warring camps of good guys and bad guys. When people treat us badly, we don't seek revenge because they're fallen and broken just like we are. And Jesus said this, "You have been taught, love your neighbours and hate the one who hates you. However, I say to you, love your enemy. Bless the one who curses you. Do something wonderful for the one who hurts you. And respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. For that will reveal your identity as children of your heavenly Father." So the pub test says, don't let the bad guys win. But Christ showed us that the way of strength is the way of humility and grace. There is no evil that can ever win against self-sacrificing love. And lastly, as long as it makes you happy. How often do we hear that said? I've said it myself. You ask any new parent their greatest wish for their child, to be happy. It plays out in all sorts of ways, in how we discipline our kids, what we allow them to do and eat and watch. And as adults, many of our important decisions are based around what we feel will bring happiness. But we always find it's a fleeting emotion. Christ did not die for our happiness. His purpose is so much bigger. Happiness is a byproduct, but it's not an aim. For a disciple, our life aim is to live for the glory of God, reflecting Him in all we do and leading others to know Him. We live on mission, on purpose, and happiness is a byproduct. The pub test would say, aim for happiness. disciples aim for faithfulness and fruitfulness. So let's summarize some aspects of this worldview of a disciple, this lens that we look at the world through. We're lovers of truth, and truth exists in the person of Jesus, and it can be discerned by reading the Bible. The future of the planet is in the hands of a loving God, and he calls his people to steward his creation well. The human race, every individual, is made in the image of God. We are deeply loved and deeply flawed, and we are accountable to a holy God. And we are not accidents of nature, but purposeful creatures of God who calls us to use our gifts in the service of others. Is this the set of glasses that you view the world through? You know, Jesus is not nailing a series of statements on the wall and saying, unless you believe these, you cannot be my disciple. He is saying, read my story, hang around with me and the people who love and serve me, invite my spirit to fill you, and you will find your mind being renewed. You will find it changing, and these things will slowly become truth to you, and they will set you free. I suppose the only question left now is, so what? How then do we live in a world that disagrees with our worldview? Well, that's what I'm going to talk about in Going Deeper. So I hope you'll join me on that as well. But let's finish with a word of prayer. God, in this week leading up to Easter, we remember the sacrifice that you paid to open our eyes to the truth of God's love, of how far you were prepared to go to free us from a confused and clouded view of the world. Jesus, this is your world, and what you have started, you will bring to completion. As we soak ourselves in your word, let your truth start to renew our minds so our thinking leads us to wholeness as we walk in your ways. Amen.
We know God's promise is that when we draw near to him,